Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are plunging into the really high-pressure world of the finance function. It's a pressure cooker right now. And generative AI, it isn't just some nice-to-have efficiency tool. For a lot of teams, it's becoming a necessary survival mechanism. The core dilemma is this. Finance teams are already buckling under massive pressure, you know, before the AI revolution has even fully delivered its promise.
That's exactly the context we need to set.
Yeah.
Our mission today is really to extract actionable strategies. We've got a curated stack of sources, insights from a finance modernization forum, excerpts from Hackett, Hitachi, Oracle, top names. We're looking for the blueprints, essentially. How do you manage this immediate kind of extreme workload pressure and at the same time execute a really complex multi-year AI modernization strategy? It's a tough balancing act.
And when you look at the data, that pressure, wow, it's immediately clear. Studies show finance workloads shot up by, what, 4.1% this past year? But at the same time, organizations actually cut staff, the FTEs, the full-time employees, and budgets.
Which leaves your average finance function staring down an immediate, mathematically proven 4.9% productivity gap. Just like that. Now, organizations are boosting tech spend. It's up about 3.5%. But the sources are really clear on this. Just spending on tech alone, it's not enough, not nearly enough to close that structural deficit. To survive, you've got to fundamentally restructure processes, data governance, the whole delivery model.
Wow. Okay, so finance is being asked to do almost 5% more, but with fewer people. And that 4.9% deficit, that's just their starting point, before factoring in all the global instability messing with their day-to-day. So what are these external business risks that are making this workload crisis even worse?
Oh, the environment is incredibly complex right now. The key issue study we look at cites several heavy pressures. You've got geopolitical instability, political risks, I mean, global events that require constant complex scenario planning, reforecasting, it's relentless. Then there are the economic concerns. Persistent trade wars, you know, and that combined pressure of inflation and rising salaries squeezing the operational budget.
Right. And the talent drain just adds insult to injury, especially in those specialized areas, I bet.
Absolutely. The talent challenges are acute, particularly within global business services, GBS, and offshoring centers. There's basically a war for specialized digital capability intensifying there. And you add to that the sheer speed of tech change itself, plus, you know, ever-increasing regulatory and data privacy concerns. All of this demands more robust oversight from a finance function that's, well, it's already running on empty.
That paints a really difficult picture for today. Okay, so let's talk AI relief then. The sources forecast a major productivity uplift, which sounds great, but when can these, frankly, exhausted finance teams realistically expect it to arrive?
Yeah, that's the key insight that often gets missed in all the hype, doesn't it? Finance is actually slightly lagging behind other SG&A functions, selling, general, and admin in the initial phase of AI implementation. The major productivity movement, the big shift, isn't really expected until 2026, 2027, and 2028. That's when the scale of investment starts translating into, you know, measurable systemic impact. Not overnight.
Okay, 2026 onwards. And that 42% productivity uplift they forecast, I mean, that sounds revolutionary. But given the current low adoption rates you mentioned, what's the single biggest mindset block stopping finance leaders from truly believing that number is even achievable?
I think it's the sheer scale of the shift, honestly. People are just used to incremental change, step-by-step improvements. But this shift, it's driven by a whole new landscape of technologies. It goes way beyond simple RPA or traditional NLP. We're talking generative AI, sure, Gen AI, but also predictive AI, and importantly, agentic AI.
Okay, let's pause on that last one. Agentic AI, we are hearing that term more frequently. And it sounds critical for understanding the future of finance automation, but maybe not everyone knows exactly what that means in practice.
Right. Think of agentic AI as, well, like a system that executes complex, multi-step tasks autonomously, almost like a virtual employee. It can figure out the next step in a process, use different tools, call other systems, and actually achieve an outcome without needing human until maybe the final approval stage. So it moves past just, say, reading a document like Gen AI or spotting a trend like predictive AI to actually doing the work. These are the kinds of elements that drive that huge 42% uplift forecast we were talking about.
Got it. So that moves us from just pure efficiency gains to something more like redefined value. When we talk about the value of Gen AI, it's easy to just focus on cost savings, cutting headcount. But the digital world-class companies, the sources mentioned, like Kimberly-Clark or Vodafone, they define value much more broadly, don't they, across four pillars. Why is experience, for example, just as important as cost reduction for these leaders?
Well, exactly. Because for these top-tier companies, value realization isn't just about cutting FTEs. It's not that simple. It's measured across Quality, certainly cost FTE reduction, but crucially, experience. And that means both employee experience and customer experience. Experience is paramount because, look, if you remove the manual, repetitive, frankly soul-destroying drudgery, you free up your best talent. They can then focus on high-value analysis, which improves retention, keeps people engaged, and better employee engagement. It almost always leads to higher quality output and ultimately better customer interaction. It's all connected.
Yet, despite this really comprehensive promise, current broad-based adoption across the peer group is only hovering around 5%. Tiny. And here's the critical reality check from the sources. Many organizations are reporting that their initial AI attempts are actually falling short of expectations. We need to dig into that. Why are these early projects failing? What's going wrong?
The sources point to four major hurdles. And interestingly, they are rarely technical failures of the AI itself. First up is process complexity, just sheer tangled complexity. The more convoluted the underlying process, the harder it is for any AI to operate effectively. One proof of concept cited, get this, required the AI agent to look across 7 different ERP systems just to do a single task, like invoice matching.
7 ERPs. Okay. To an outsider, that just sounds like a lot of databases. But for an AI agent, what's the actual technical catastrophe happening there? Why is pulling data from 7 systems so bad?
Right, it's a great question. The core issue isn't really the AI's ability to read or reason. It's smart enough for that. It's the process of connecting and harmonizing those totally disparate siloed data sources. That level of fragmentation means the AI spends practically all its time just trying to clean and connect incompatible data. Data that might be labeled differently, stored in 7 completely distinct formats. It's a nightmare. So instead of generating insight or completing the process, it's just stuck in prep work. That complexity is a huge, often hidden cost.
That makes perfect sense, yeah. Mm-hmm. The AI is basically drowning in data generator work before it can even start. What are the other major blockers?
Okay, second is unrealistic benefit expectations. Seems some early inflated numbers promoted by consultancies maybe set the bar too high. This led to disappointment when initial proofs of concept didn't deliver, you know, multi-million dollar savings overnight. Expectations need managing. Third, the absolute foundational challenge, data quality concerns. Garbage in, garbage out, right? If the data feeding the Gen AI model is inconsistent, inaccurate, incomplete, the output is simply unusable, full stop.
And finally, we circle back to that trust issue. The fear of solutions may be going too far and the fundamental need for accountability.
That's the fourth big concern, ethical concerns and trust. Specifically, the critical need for explainable, auditable AI models. The CFO, the auditors, everyone has to be able to trust the output, particularly when you're dealing with financials and regulatory filings. It's non-negotiable. If you can't audit how the AI reached its decision, you simply can't act on its output, and the project stalls right there.
Okay, so those are the hurdles. Let's pivot from the theory and the problems to the practical reality. How do companies get this right? The sources highlight 2 major proven paths for implementing AI in finance. What they call the custom AI overlay and the embedded AI approach. Let's look at custom first, using that Hatchett Smith case study as an example.
Right, DS Smith. They faced a classic finance challenge, a super high volume, very manual process. They were processing 1.5 million invoices manually per year, running on an older legacy SAP system. Sound familiar? Their first attempt, using standard non-generative tech and a proof of concept, well, it took 8 weeks, and the result? A disappointing 65% automation rate, and they still had low confidence in the data. Not great.
So they were basically heading straight towards one of those falling short of expectation stories we just talked about. How did the Gen AI pivot change that trajectory so dramatically?
They made a really sharp shift. They brought in large language models combined with video analytics, a different approach. They essentially reinvented the entire POC in just 3 to 4 weeks, much faster. And immediately, they hit 90% automation. Then they quickly refined it to a sustained 95% touchless operation for invoices. That's a massive accelerated win compared to where they started.
So the core lesson here feels like it's less about the specific tech and more about a structural change. Treating AI not as some temporary project with an end date and a budget, but as a permanent capability you build and maintain.
Exactly that. That 95% automation success wasn't the end goal. It became a permanent foundation, a launch pad, as they called it. A launchpad for continuous deployment across other high-value use cases like rate card compliance validation or customer remittance validation. The mandate shifted. Organizations now realize they need to build permanent, dedicated AI squads, modular capabilities to keep pace with the evolving models. It's ongoing.
Okay, that's the custom approach. Now let's explore the alternative, the embedded AI approach, with Oracle as the main example here. This strategy seems designed to bypass many of those complexity and security hurdles right from the very start.
That's the core thesis of the embedded strategy, yes. It really emphasizes protection and seamless integration from day one. Oracle builds the AI capabilities directly into their Fusion platform across ERP, EPM, SCM, everything. And it's all protected by a single security wrapper. This inherently solves that complexity problem, you know, having to manage integration maturity across those infamous 7 different systems we discussed earlier. It's built in.
And this embedded functionality, it tackles some of the most time-consuming and frankly, cognitively demanding finance tasks, doesn't it? Give us some specific examples of what this embedded agentic AI actually does for a finance team.
Yeah, the examples are pretty powerful. Starts with things like narrative reporting. GenAI actually drafts sections of quarterly reports. It generates text summaries, suggests appropriate charts and visuals for complex variance analysis. This just dramatically cuts down the time spent in that manual writing and review cycle.
That's genuine cognitive assistance, isn't it? Not just basic data entry automation.
Precisely. Then you have things like the ledger agent. This is a perfect example of agentic AI in action. It not only identifies differences and imbalances between systems, but it goes further. It can draft and even post the necessary journal entries for final human approval. It's effectively an automated workforce handling reconciliation tasks. Another significant piece is intelligent document recognition, or IDR. This can process pretty much any document format, handwritten notes, email, PDFs, whatever. And it achieves that same high automation rate, that 95% success rate cited in a land registry application example they shared.
Oh.
Very effective.
And critically, it sounds like it can also help drive working capital optimization with something called dynamic discounting.
Yes, exactly. Because the AI is integrated everywhere across the platform, it allows for early payment discounts to be negotiated and applied dynamically. And that's across all suppliers and throughout the entire payment period, not just on specific contracts or at specific times. This helps optimize working capital for the entire organization in a much more holistic way.
Okay, so whether it's that 95% custom automation win or the 95% embedded win, the lesson feels clear. The strategy for implementation is paramount, which leads us nicely to the strategic mandate. Achieving real AI success requires these fundamental shifts that go way beyond just the technology layer itself.
This is the crucial non-technology imperative. You're absolutely right. For instance, global business services functions, GBS, they must urgently rethink their service catalogs. Radically. I mean, if 95% of invoice processing becomes touchless, that service effectively disappears from their list, right?
Yeah.
So new processes have to be designed. They mentioned one called IDR to deliver as an example. GBS has to refocus its services onto higher value work. Analytics, governance, AI model maintenance, that sort of thing.
So those traditional manual high volume tasks like basic journal entry processing, they might just cease to be a service GBS provides at all. That's a fundamental shakeup.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And alongside that service redesign, you need entirely new governance structures. The sources were very, very clear on this. Governance and control are paramount, non-negotiable. The biggest challenge moving forward isn't likely to be the AI tech itself, but the lack of integration maturity and robust governance frameworks. Imagine the chaos if every single function and process owner tries to implement their own AI tools independently. It won't work. Governance has to be unified, centralized.
And ultimately, of course, all this amazing technology and governance still relies on having the right people in place.
Talent and mindset. It's the foundation for everything else. The focus has to shift radically towards change management, seriously upskilling existing talent, and crucially, ensuring the organization has the right attitude, the right mindset for continuous AI adoption. Without that right mindset, even the best technology will just languish underutilized.
Okay, to really cap off the ultimate potential of this kind of integrated, almost ruthless AI adoption, the source material gives us Oracle's own internal finance operations as the ultimate proof point, doesn't it?
It really is the capstone achievement, yes. It shows the vision fully realized. Oracle internally achieves an audited financial close, and their NYC filings in just 10 to 11 calendar days after the quarter ends. That's incredibly fast. And importantly, they use the very same embedded AI products they sell to their customers. So they're eating their own dog food, proving the scalability and security of the model. Their stated goal now for the next phase, to reach a one-day audited close globally. That is the kind of transformation possible when you fully commit to and embrace embedded AI capabilities across the board.
Wow. That vision a one-day audited close, it's just astonishing, isn't it? Especially when you measure it against that 4.9% productivity gap we started this whole conversation with. We've seen the path from custom overlays achieving that impressive 95% automation to these embedded platforms delivering similar integrated results. It seems the future of finance really depends on knowing which flavor of AI to apply where, how to finally get your data in order, and critically, how to govern the resulting automation army effectively.
And that governance piece, that's the next great frontier for finance leaders, I believe. The governance of that agentic AI workforce. Look, we spent decades building complex systems to monitor human performance, KPIs, performance reviews, metrics galore. We must now design new, equally rigorous performance management and accountability structures specifically for the AI systems we implement. We need to continuously monitor how these digital agents are performing, ensure they're driving continuous improvement, not just ticking boxes, or worse, going off the rails. That's key.
So the final thought for you, the listener, as you look at your own organization, the key question to ask yourself isn't just, can AI solve my immediate problems? But maybe it's more fundamental. Is my organization actually ready to govern an army of AI agents effectively? Or is our underlying fundamental process complexity the real hit or cost that's actually holding us back from realizing any of this potential? Something to think about. Join us next time on The Deep Dive.